What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Forges of Comic 2 podcast. My name's Tyler.
I'm Mary.
I'm Aaron.
Yeah, I'm Kylie.
This is a book club episode. It's where one of our podcasters picks a trade paperback and we talk about it. This was Mary's pick. What are we reading?
Well, it's Stray Dogs, which I finally read, apparently.
Stray Dogs and also the Stray Dogs Dog Days, which is like the little companion.
Marianne, we read it all.
Thought it was the same thing.
That was epic. I'm telling you, that was like awesome.
At the end of this episode, Aaron's going to tell us what our next book club episode
oh,
is.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Hope you have it picked up.
No, I don't. Okay.
Well, she's got like an hour to think about it.
Okay. But oh, wait. Did I already lose?
Well, we haven't started the game yet, so we're going to get free.
Okay.
We have another game.
If you listened to our podcast last week, you know that our youngest daughter gave us all words to sit that we're not allowed to say during the podcast, and Kylie won because he was the only one that didn't say his. She's given us new words again this time, so we get a freebie now just to go around and say what they are. My word is really.
mine is fuck.
Yep. Aaron?
Oh, shit.
And Kylie?
Pickle.
So she's handed the win to Kylie once again.
Technically, Aaron's is two words.
But it's a phrase.
It's really? A phrase.
It's more of a phrase,
I'm going to mess this up.
Actually.
So those are the words we're not allowed to say if you want to play along at home and wait for us to say these words because you know it's going to happen. Yes. Except for Kylie's, because why the hell would the word pickle come up?
I don't know. Well, I mean, it is Kylie's favorite food.
All it takes is someone to steer the conversation in that direction. I'll be sure. Like, pickles?
We haven't started officially, though.
Oh, fine.
The game's officially on now.
Okay, official. Lovely. Official.
Well, I use the plural. Does that count?
Yes! I think so.
Does Aaron have to say both words for it to count, or she just says the second word?
It has to be both.
It would have to be both, yeah.
Because that's not fair.
That's fair.
I need a... Yeah.
All right. So, Stray Dogs.
Yeah.
We were supposed to do last week. Didn't do last week, but I'm very impressed that we were able to throw something together.
Did we explain the issue last week? Okay.
We did.
Yeah, we did.
We were special.
We were special. Stray Dogs is a book from Image. Came out fairly recently, right? Last couple years.
Yeah.
It's written by Tony Fleeks. Is that how you say his name?
Fleece.
Fleece.
Yeah.
Trist Forstner is the artist. I really like the art. The art feels.
I really like the art.
Out. I'm out.
He's out.
that one was bound.
That was quick.
That was bound to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
That's awesome.
I like the artwork a lot because it feels very Disney to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so.
I like that the quote is kind of like it's the crossbreed between Silence of the Lambs and All Dogs Go to Heaven because it kind of has an All Dogs Go to Heaven art style as well, but it's – which All Dogs Go to Heaven is like Don Bluth who comes from Disney anyway, so it's like it's a very Disney style.
I don't understand the Silence of the Lambs. I've never seen that. Is that the one where it puts the lotion on its skin? Mm-hmm. Okay, I know that part. That's all I know.
He's going to be at Free Comic Book Day.
Free Comic Book Day?
Oh, well.
Tony Fleece, yeah.
Then we will have to go get... We'll tell him the story that we read the wrong book.
he'll laugh, I bet. Or he'll
That's
be like,
coming up,
way.
Right? Yeah, first weekend of May, first Saturday of May, yeah. Yep. All right, cool. All right. Why did you pick Stray Dogs, Mary?
Well, I picked Stray Dogs because I read Dog Days and I knew that it was, I knew what it was about. And so I read this and then I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Did it though?
It did to me. And then, that's why I picked it. And I didn't know that it was different terms.
Reading it today.
When you guys were reading this, can you imagine reading this just by itself without the other thing?
No.
Yeah, see,
no.
I can't.
That was me last week.
But I can't imagine picking it as like, this is my book pick.
When I didn't realize that this was a second book, I was honestly like fighting to not shit on it. Because I was just like, because I was just like, it's not enough of anything to be anything.
It doesn't tell me anything.
Exactly. It's just, but like now that I know, like, oh, it's just a companion piece to this. Like now it's like, okay, that makes sense now.
It all makes sense now.
But I'm happy because I was not looking forward to that podcast last week where I was because I was like, I don't want to shit on this book, but I was just like, it's just not enough of anything.
But it is I think you just said it, it's a great companion piece.
Yeah, yeah. Now with the context, you're like, okay, yeah.
Well,
like,
listen, didn't this feel I a little understood meteor? Fleece. I understood you, what you were writing. I got it. I understood.
Mary just jumped in, did have no issues.
What made you pick it up?
Because I just heard Stray Dogs was good.
Okay.
And this was the first one I saw. I was like, oh, Stray Dogs, perfect.
Did you get
I'm buying
Wasatch?
This.
Was that when you bought it?
I don't know.
I think it was when we were volunteering at Wasatch.
It is a nerd store cover you guys got.
Yeah, probably. I think it's when we were working the little pop-up shop that's down fair. There.
No idea. Bought.
That's fair. It doesn't help that for a two-issue series, they made it big.
They put a shit ton of covers in there.
They made it normal.
So now, like, they appreciate the art and everything. Did this pull it back for you? Like, did you find value in that after this?
I'd like to read this again now after reading this because I feel like the pieces connect a lot more. But, like, this by itself is just, like, it's not... This is written very much with the idea that you've already read this.
It very much so.
Yeah, fine for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
That was where it was very clippy. And there it was like just giving you background on what this
it's
was.
It's more like stories of the individual dogs of how he got them, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I started here.
Well, you should.
As you
but
should.
But the best is... I was flipping through Mary's book.
Dog Days.
After the podcast, kind of getting a sense. And I was like, oh, I hope nobody, you know, no humans die. She's like, oh, no dogs die. Just they're humans. And I was like, okay. And I was
they don't in die in mine.
And I was flipping it and there's a fire. Like the house was on fire in the back and we'll get there. But I read this and I was like, where's the house? She said nothing died. So I think it was comical. The whole, like...
It was hilarious.
Kylie's like, what house fire are you talking about?
It was funny the way that it all unfolded because it was literally, like, right at the 11th hour.
And it's interesting.
Like, when I'm opening up the page, like, and they skin this dog, and they look at all the dog heads, and you both are like...
Wait, what?
What?
That's not in the book. We read.
All right, so let's start.
All right, so Stray Dogs... we got one copy of the trade here, so we're gonna make do with
you
what
just flip
we
it open and let's
with what
see.
We can. So we start with kind of our main character dog here, whose name I've already forgotten.
Well, she forgets
Sophie.
Too.
Sophie, thank you. Sophie's Choice. Is that true? I was gonna ask that. So is that like a thing that like dogs' short term memory is?
Yes,
like,
I
is
actually
not
googled
good?
This because I wanted to. Like, is this a real thing? They do. They remember. Repeated things. They remember long-term stuff. They just don't. They don't have a short-term memory.
Okay.
How do they know that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I guess it's probably just the way they study their brains and figure. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know if that makes how we treat our dogs differently.
That means our dog shouldn't remember that his old people.
But
we're
I don't.
Better.
Yeah, I don't know. I was like,
but he's traumatized. By being an outside dog.
Interesting.
So yeah, that's what I was wondering if you would treat your dog differently knowing this. Because I mean, they say she doesn't have a short-term memory, and this is the part where it made me sad when she was in the doctor's office.
I had it.
They're sitting in the waiting room of the vet's office. The doctor calls him back, and Sophie's going to get a shot. And the doctor's saying like, oh, don't worry. Like, she's not going to remember this tomorrow anyways.
But she... Yeah, and it was, look at those little sad eyes and everything.
Yeah.
Shut up. You hold the book a little bit. I'm going to see pictures.
Aaron, how about you hold the book?
No, I don't want to.
Again, I love the style. Very Disney to me. Love it. Love
yes,
it so much.
I like it. Lady
it's
in the
very
Tramp.
Like...
The little... The
it's very
lines.
Like Saturday morning Disney to me.
Yeah.
And the creepy house out there.
It's a nice house.
No, it's... It's
a
knowing what goes on in there. There's no. It's by this really big road. It's kind of reminds me a little bit of.
It's
like,
on like a busy street, yeah.
But it's on busy street, but there's nothing really around it. But it's way too close to a busy street. It feels total like Stephen King kind of setting the stage up, right? Like
it immediately gives off vibes of this is a house that's probably built by somebody that doesn't want neighbors. And doesn't want people close by. You know what I mean? So it's just like...
It doesn't feel right.
It feels like someone that wants a lot of space.
Even though it's out in the middle of everywhere in a weird way.
In the middle of everywhere, yeah.
Before we move on, I had this pulled up and I just found it. It was, this is the dog thing, because I had Googled this. Mm-hmm. It says, in fact, your dog might have forgotten they saw you leave the house. They have a short-term memory of about 2 minutes, but they the association they build can last lifetimes. Dogs can recognize people and animals they might not have seen for years. Hmm. But it's just that short-term.
Interesting. Yeah. So
maybe that's why they're all
we're at the we never even get a name for the guy. They just call him the master, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're at the master's house. He's got this. Well, he's got to be close to double digit dogs, right?
Yeah.
Of all different breeds and stuff. And he comes home with Sophie. And we're like, oh shit, that's that little lady's dog. What the fuck?
And there's some pretty dogs too. All different types of dogs.
You guys have a favorite of the dogs? I'm partial to the husky.
The husky. Yeah. He's so cute.
I like him.
I like the three-legged Dalmatian.
Mm. Yeah, we all did, Mary.
We all did.
The other, the...
Rusty?
I want to call him Marshall.
I guess his name's Rusty, right?
That sounds right, yeah.
Aldo. No, not Aldo.
One of them is Rusty.
Him, Rusty.
There's a Rusty somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's Rusty.
One of these dogs is a Rusty guy.
So
Roxanne is the husky.
She has this. This is Omega.
Roxanne.
Man, this is Imogen. Imogen.
Yeah, what a strange name for a dog.
Yeah, and then I guess.
Well, I like the French poodle or whatever is.
A guy.
It's a guy's name.
Henry?
Victor is the Dalmatian.
And it's Henry, I believe, is
because the story in the Dog Days of his.
When I see the French poodle, for anyone that grew up again Disney with like Oliver and Company, I always think Georgette from Oliver and Company. So when I see the dog, I'm like, it's Georgette.
Mm-hmm.
So they're excited and woof woof woof. And
they're happy. They're living their best life.
At all, just so
Woof woof woof.
And Sophie's very like
traumatized.
Yeah, and very like in a new place, and like the way dogs act when they're in a new place, very sort of standoffish. We're like, I don't know. And the dogs are like, I feel like the dogs are very good at like, they're welcoming to her. Like, hey, when you're ready, we're here for you. Like, you know, we promise we're your
friends. I like the way they talk. New smells new. Oh,
new dog. Oh, hey, new dog.
And they're lovable, and they all seem relatively friendly. This guy just sleeps a lot. Mogan.
Nothing wrong with it.
I think it's
Imogen.
Imogen, I think. Imogen.
It's okay. It's a very weird name.
Oh, look at that guy. And this little guy.
So this is where she's talking to Rusty. He's kind of like the leader of the group. Mm-hmm. Would we say that's fair?
Yeah. Look at him. He's a leader. He's eating spaghetti out of somebody's
shepherd. He's a natural
character in All Dogs Go to Heaven. That's what he reminds me of.
Burt Reynolds.
Wasn't he in All Dogs Go to Heaven? Wasn't he the main dog?
Is he Charlie in All Dogs Go to Heaven?
I don't know.
Is that Burt Reynolds?
I could be wrong. It's been years, so let me.
Wow.
We all pause.
Let me fact check this.
If that's true, I never knew that. Okay. That's pretty crazy.
We all pause a little bit and wait.
The dog's name is Charlie, and All Dogs Go to Heaven. I know that, but I don't know if it's Burt Reynolds or not.
I could be wrong. Oh. That could just be something. Yeah, it is Burt Reynolds.
Charlie. Is it really?
Yeah, Burt Reynolds is Charlie.
Well done.
We should talk about...
It's Burt Reynolds, Lonnie Anderson, and Dom DeLuise. I mean, come on.
We should talk about Don Bluth movies sometime. There's some good ones, man. American Tail.
They do look so happy, and she looks so sad.
Land Before Time. Anyways, a lot of traumatizing movies.
Mm-hmm.
Roxanne,
you don't have to turn on the red light.
Sophie's
the
so husky. Sad.
Yeah, and I think.
So you're saying this was not Sophie's choice?
Oh!
It was not her choice.
No. It was not her choice.
What kind of dog
Damn
is she?
Damn Nazis. I'm sorry.
What kind of dog is Sophie? I don't know.
She's not a Chihuahua.
No, it's like a Chihuahua.
She looks like a little fox.
Yeah, I don't know what the type of dog is.
If you
is.
Look in the other book, maybe you'll have it. It
that's true because they have the little bios for all the dogs. Do they have the breed on there? There was a noise.
Sorry,
Oh, they do. Okay, look.
They're talking about like, oh yeah, the master takes such good care of us, but there's these rooms we're not allowed to go in. This room we're never allowed to be in. That's probably why he keeps the treats. That's why.
Okay, well here's the thing: some do and some don't because Killer does not. Okay. He's just a beloved pet last seen at the dog park wearing a pink collar, says killer, is microchipped, has heartworm positive, and rabies vaccinated.
That's the little round tubby one. Yeah. I do like the fact that they point out the door in the front because there's cars busy outside. Yeah. You're not supposed to get hit.
Because I don't think the front yard's fenced, right? It's just
That's open. Right. It isn't.
Yeah, so if you're on a busy street, like, yeah, you can't have the dogs out in the front yard.
And they tell her that, and they kind of go through. I like that the fact that they're showing her outside all how fancy she
Aldo
is.
Sophie is a papillion.
Is a mixed breed.
Papillion, okay.
Aldo is a mixed breed.
Mm. Oh, Aldo was cute.
It was like my dog.
And then she pees her pants.
Yeah, and they're all making fun of her.
But well, again, like, dogs in a new place.
Other yeah. Henry is a white bull terrier.
He's
his name is Other Henry because there is two Henrys.
That is true.
I think the fear, though, that they say, oh, they don't want to sit next to her. But
the shunning.
Imogen or Imogene.
That's the one.
Is a Tibetan Mastiff.
Mastiffs are cool as hell.
Big fucking dog.
Mastiffs are badass. Anyways.
So Rusty's, her reward was $10,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rusty's like the only one that's nice to Sophie, I feel like, at the beginning.
I think they all were, but they were all childish.
They all were, but then when they saw she was kind of standoffish, they all kind of said, okay, well, to hell with her.
Yeah.
Roxanne is an Alaskan Malamute, not
we were
a Husky.
We're asking about this one, and we already know what kind of dog it is.
He wants you to stop. I'm okay with care. The interruptions.
I don't care.
So Sophie gets her owner's scarf back.
Oh,
and
no.
It's the smell that triggers the memory.
PTSD.
That she remembers that the new master broke into her old master's home, her old lady's home, my lady is what she called her.
All right, guys, Henry the Poodle is a male dog, only a $1,000 reward, whereas Imogen was $10,000.
I think it's Imogen, yeah.
Imogen, yeah.
Go ahead, go. I'm.
She will continue
go,
this
until
will.
She hits the next page.
I will.
So this part was really rough for me because I was like, how she's such a tiny little dog.
This is something I've actually thought about before in the past too, of like victims of like break-ins and stuff, of like burglaries or, you know, God forbid, any sort of sexual assault or whatever, like animals in the house, like how that affects them or anything, because they're so close to their owners and people. So like it is crazy to see her kind of like, oh shit, like it all comes back to her very quickly.
And I don't know, I can't imagine it's any different than humans, because smells are big.
Oh,
like
yeah.
You hit that right thing and that like can trigger some memories. Wow. I can only imagine it's even enhanced for animals.
Dude, I have, yeah, it has to be, because I have smells sometimes where I'm like,
something like, from your childhood.
You haven't thought, yeah, dude.
Yeah!
It wasn't that long ago where our youngest one actually had like a body spray or some kind of thing, whatever. And I swear, like the second I smelled it, I hadn't even thought about it in like 20 years. I was like, this girl from junior high smelled like that, whatever. And it was like instant when I smelled it. It was like, it was all right there. Yeah. But it's like, not like I even had thought about it.
Exactly.
Or remembered it.
It's that, I can't, what's the term? It's the sense of smell. It's there's a terminology for it, but yeah, it's powerful.
It is.
It's weird.
I we were walking yesterday or something, and I was like, what's that smell? Like, it was just a bit. It was like flour or something. It reminded me, and I couldn't quite catch it. But this one would be super scary, because she knows, like, she's stuck in the house with murder.
Or it's like if you ever go, like, to your parents' house or something, and your mom's
mom
like, your mom's like cooking a meal that you had when you were a kid, and it's like you smell it and it just takes you back there. Okay. Like, oh, I remember having it. So obviously Sophie's like, the master's a murderer, like murdered my old lady.
My
and
lady.
Stuff.
My lady.
They're like, you crazy girl.
They're all like,
you
bitch,
crazy.
Please. You crazy as fuck.
Because they all ain't got no memory.
And everybody's like upset about it and confused, and I don't know what
they're
I'd
like,
do.
What? No way.
In this situation, you like, yeah, like it's such a sweet level of animal. Like it's almost, I don't know. Well, eventually where they go, it's not good. But is it like horrifying to re-traumatize a group of people who have been living with this guy. Right. I don't know. But and yes, like, it's not good.
And it seems like, you know, for the most part, it seems like he treats the dogs fairly well. Mm-hmm.
Except so it's like something
it's
snaps.
Like they've forgotten their previous owners. They live with this guy. It's like it doesn't seem like they're like
it's weird,
roughing
right?
it. You know, like they seem like for the most part they're treated very well as long as they obey his rules, right? Staying out of the room they're not supposed to be in and everything else.
What I got
like it doesn't look like he just like regularly beats the dog or
no, not at all. And what I got from this Dog Days when I read this today, it felt more like yes, he likes to attack the women, mm-hmm. but it feels like he's really scoping them out for the dogs.
I don't know about that.
That's what I got.
No, that's his trophy. It's a part of his trophy.
That to me is like the main target for him. Is like, hey, I like this dog, and then it goes from that point.
I think so too. I agree.
No, you think?
But I also think that's the biggest weakness of the book overall is that the villain doesn't have like a motive. Like what's the end game? It's like to assault these women, kill these women, whatever. So the dog, and then what? But like, there's not like a doing this to get here or whatever. There's
that's
not.
That's the beauty. I of
wish
it, right?
there was a something else.
Why? Well, I think we're also missing the fact of like, you know, this is like a dog's point of view. Like we're getting a limited amount of information from
kind of
what
fun.
They get.
That is true.
So,
and I think that's kind of fun too because it takes it to a more when you read this again. That juvenile, like, hey, what are you doing? Oh, my God, what's going on? And you get little snippets. So if you take, it's hard, though, if you take every preconceived notion that you had out, the master was obviously killing somebody. Why or how? Personally, I don't think serial killers have much more. They all have this kind of like, well, I'm going to kill the next one or the next one. But I kind of dig, like you said, if this is from a dog's perspective, they gave you about every piece of information
it's
that
true.
You need to
it's
know.
True. That's fair.
You always have to put your books into the context of what is it? Like the perspective. There we go. That's what
so
it is.
All she can keep thinking about now is her lady getting attacked. And I think she stresses out about it more because she remembers it and she wants to make sure she doesn't forget it again. Mm.
And she gets on the little newspaper and
so sad. So they decide that they're gonna go into this room, right? They're not supposed to be in.
I think Rusty is just saying, at this point, not he's trying to make her feel better. I don't think he really believes her, but he's like, all right,
I'll entertain you, you know.
Because even at the end when he says, I remember, he doesn't.
Yeah. And so he decides to help her out. And, you know, they kind of stare at the room. But isn't this the part where she even forgets what the conversation was?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they're like, see, she doesn't know.
And he brings in the magical red scarf that causes massive
again.
PTSD. And then it gets scary. And they all watch him and eat. I think this is kind of cute. They're all eating at their different levels, like biggest to smallest.
Mm-hmm.
And he's creepily, we all know what's going on. And he puts the dog on the leash, and I get sad. I'm like, is he going to kill him, or is he's going to go take
him?
Yeah.
They do decide to get into the master's secret room. I like that they're like, well, we can't go in because he always locks the door. Like, oh, okay, except for this time it's not locked.
I wonder if he was in a rush.
Or I wonder how many times he's never locked it and never thought about it because no one's gone in there.
Did you guys spend any extra time kind of going through the room at all?
It's not. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Silence of the Lambs. Like, is he a cross-dresser?
I thought that myself, too. And a lot of women's clothes.
Uh-huh. And then it was just, she couldn't let it go, right? Like, she kept digging, getting into boxes. It is an odd room, though.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. But the house is odd for one man, that many dogs, and then certain places they can't go.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was appropriately creepy.
For sure.
Definitely creepy.
And she's like, and this is not cool. Because,
again, the stuffed coyote?
But the amount of different stuffed animals, it shows the level of what is he willing to kill a dog? And he's like, oh, that's a monster. right? Like, yeah. Throughout this whole house, he has, like...
Taxidermy is weird, to be honest with me. Yeah, it is. Like, the whole thing is weird.
I mean, but the animal, it's creepy. I just don't like... I think that is a... It doesn't show safety in my mind's eye if I was a dog. It's still in the...
Because you're saying, like, if you kill a coyote, it's not that big of a step to kill a dog.
Exactly. Them. I'm like, yeah. And the fact that that's in a room hidden, it kind of, like...
Because that's not with the other stuffed animals that he has.
Right. I'm like, I don't know. Or it's, like, his mascot of, like, I'm a power hungry, like... Mm-hmm. There could be a lot of stuff.
The master comes back, and Sophie's able to hide.
But Rusty is not. And I Rusty's don't know not. What he does in that little...
He gets taken out to the punishment. Sophie's hiding in the closet.
That would be so scary. And at a dog level, I know this is not big, but I was so scared for a dog. That makes a very good writing and artwork that you're like, oh, poor dog, don't look out the closet door.
Yeah. Like the little flashbacks that she's having here to being back at the dog park.
Yeah. Poor little girl.
Yeah.
And then... He bang crash, and I think
he kicks the dog.
For sure, right? Does he?
Yeah.
Is that what he's hurt by, or?
I mean, it's like off camera, but you just hear like a yipe, so it either hits him or something kicks him happens. Or something. Yeah,
definitely. Something. Yeah.
So he breaks something so she can get out of the room, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then
he's causing a distraction.
This is what makes me really sad. Like, whatever happens, because he's out there limping.
Especially when you're reading this book for the first time and you're like, you don't know what's in the shed. So you're like, there's something going on, obviously, but back there.
What does he see in the shed that makes him like, because if they don't have short-term memory, just remember he's like, you don't want to go back in there. So does he hurt his foot? Like, does he purposely hurt the dog's foot in there?
Yeah, I mean, the rest of the book he limps, so you don't know what happens. Yeah. But yeah, obviously something goes on in there.
Like, does he see things in there? Like, does he say, this could be you? I don't know.
It can happen to you.
We will
you.
Never know.
And then they're all sad.
Yeah.
And they're all waiting to see what happens.
And Sophie's just trying so hard to get some of the other dogs to believe her now.
You gotta believe me, please. Henry? Other Henry?
Anybody?
Yeah, he comes out. He comes out of punishment. He's fine, at least. I mean, not fine, but he's alive, right?
Yeah.
He looks skittish, though, right?
For like, sure.
Spooked.
Yeah,
like a human.
Spooked.
And they're talking about all the pictures of these women that he has. He likes to take
normal.
All the pictures.
It's
normal. Yeah.
Completely well, the doggy sucks. And this is the one where...
She finds a picture of the Huskies, old lady. Yeah. And it's the same thing. It's like the second she sees the picture, it triggers the memory.
That was my lady.
Yeah. And that is an adorable adorbs right there.
It is.
Very good.
They like each other.
And so now the conversation has gotten bigger.
So now there's another believer now, right?
Well, in theory, three, but
this
yes.
This is how cults begin.
Now I'm a believer.
And the backyard, I now agree with you about its placement by the road makes it not necessarily far away, but it doesn't look like an ideal place for multiple people's houses.
I think, you know, if you're a twisted individual, right? If you're and you're looking to build a property somewhere, you build it next to a very busy road because you go, okay, one, it's not going to be an attractive place for other people to build around me because they're not going to want to be off this busy road. So that way you can maintain
creepiness,
the privacy that you have.
Yeah. True. He does have a lot of grounds for them to run around. I do love, though, the fact that they mention a stick in here that he found it earlier on. They mentioned, oh, I had the stick. Yeah, the stick. And it's brought back up in this book. Yep. And he's like, I'll give you a ball for this stick. Ooh, that stick's gross.
So shortly after here, right, they find the stuff under the porch, right?
Well, I think.
Yeah, under the porch, they find a bunch of graves.
Well, it's the, what was it? They're searching for proof. There was something that triggered it, and she's like, I know, there'll be proof, and it's underneath, because he says, I found something under there. We saw that. I don't know if this was when they mentioned the stick. So she's now hell-bent on finding something about her lady, and they go under. And this is like awesome is that it's dogs, but it's like a scary movie when the car pulls up and you're like, get out of there.
They're so lucky they didn't get, I don't know how they don't get busted here by just laying in the hole. They're so lucky. Yeah. They're so fucking lucky that he doesn't just look over the edge.
Well, and it's kind of.
And was I the only one thinking, like, if you're burying people in this space, how are you doing that?
Yes.
Like, you got to be crouched down digging a hole. Like,
yeah, that can't, well, how did, what's his face, clown guy?
John Wayne Gacy.
John Wayne Gacy, he did the same thing.
Like, the crawl space.
Yeah, in his crawl space.
Yeah, so
that's dedication.
And he had them packed so close together, like, bodies were, like,
I think John Wayne Gacy, they said a lot of it was, like gardening show. Like yeah, not like a full-size show. It's like a little show. Like, dude, imagine the time. Yeah.
So, this guy.
Yes, if that's your hobby.
Based on the amount of dogs and the amount, well, we'll get there. I think this guy's been doing this for quite some time.
Oh, yeah.
So he's probably got a method to his madness. I do like.
Well, do we believe that any of these dogs were his original dogs?
No, not at all.
So we know he's done it at least that many times.
But he did his first dog wasn't his original dog, is what we learned. So we'll get there.
Yeah.
But so he's done it at least however many dogs there is, he's done it that many times.
That and then all the ones we see.
The stuffed ones. Later.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh shit. Like, I think this is like the collective sigh of relief. But even then, I think, doesn't Roxy still keep digging? Oh no, someone's stuck in the hole, right?
The three legs.
Victor.
Don't even bring up Victor.
Because he's only got three legs, man. He has a hard time getting out the hole.
We did funny story about him. When they did Dog Days, we did a variant cover for the store, and I can't remember the artist. I want to say it might have been Chad Harden that did, and it was, they used the Ghostbusters logo, and they had Victor doing the little, you know, the sequel sign, the peace sign.
Oh, yeah.
But they had done it. He'd, like, I think it was Kenny saw the preliminary sketch for it, and he was using the paw that he didn't have the leg.
Oh.
And Kenny was like, you know, he's missing that leg, right? Mm-hmm. And, oh, you're right. And they changed the artwork because of that. You did the other arm.
Yeah.
You took the other arm off.
Keep it consistent.
I think
it
was because Kenny was like, pointed that out. Like, that dog doesn't have that arm.
And they're digging, trying to get the frick out so that they can not be where they're not supposed to be.
Not get punished.
And look at them. They're like eating the food. Where's the other dogs? That would be so scary.
Yeah.
Time's ticking. Countdowns. And then they show up and they are dirty.
Dirty. So dirty. And he already knows, he's just crawled under the porch and didn't find it. But it's like he had a hunch, obviously, something was going on. Didn't find the dogs. Now they come in all muddy. It's like,
we know something goes wrong.
Yeah.
Because this one's sad.
Here's where we get a little bit of Victor's backstory here.
And then, I don't know why this one's sadder than the rest.
Because he's like, only got three legs.
No, and maybe it's because he was a security, he was a Dalmatian, he's saving people.
He's at the fire department.
Yeah.
Sounds like how the fire department brings him in.
Mm-hmm.
And then he remembers his master going. And that's the thing, though, is he remembers helping
the 911,
And then, things don't necessarily go well.
I hate that, like, he's able to know, like, to put it on him, you know, because it's like they dial 911, all the dogs are sort of barking into the phone, and obviously he comes down, they're like, oh no, we're all fine here, sorry, my dog must have hit the receiver,
and then they all watch
and
him,
he's the one that gets sort of the punishment for it.
Yeah,
it's a bummer.
No, it's very sad.
It's a bummer.
Their faces here are really sad. So now it's Victor's turn to go out to the shed.
I like
the rumble when they're all running from one end of the house to the other.
Because
I can imagine that's what it.
This just kills you.
Yeah.
The exterior shot of the shed, and then you just get the bang sound.
It brings tears to my eyes. How did you not like?
Because,
isn't that
like,
cool, Mary?
There's no part of you where it's you're like, cool. Oh, I wonder what happened.
Yeah.
And then the next one is
maybe he was just
alone.
Slamming the door.
Exactly.
Probably not. So now we see the dog with the weird name.
No, this is not him. This is
a bloodhound.
He's not in here.
He's not the one that has the weird name?
It was
No, he was in there, I thought.
The bloodhound?
Oh.
Yeah, he should be in there.
Oh, I thought this was the mastiff as a puppy.
No.
No? Oh, okay.
That's Imogen.
Yeah, that's the one I thought we were talking about. Anyways.
Lost hound dog puppy.
Earl.
Oh, Earl. His name is Earl.
He's a hound dog.
He's the first, I think, and that's why he doesn't remember anything.
I was thinking Fox and the Hound myself.
Oh, gotcha. I'm a hound
dog. Well, he's
I'm
the first of dog. This group.
No, I mean, I think he's the first.
I think he's the first one, too, yeah.
He's the first.
But when in the dog days, in this one, I don't remember. He comes home to another group. And that's why when he sees the stuffed heads, he's like, oh, shit.
Oh, wait, we're going to keep watching. Okay. We're going to keep reading. So
yeah, we'll get to that.
Shit's not going well. Everybody's kind of wondering where the hell the other dog is.
Everybody's on edge now. They know something happened to Victor.
They know he someone's tattled, back. Too.
Yeah.
Because I think...
And now they're not getting fed.
Earl. Yeah. Yep. And the master leaves.
And
he's like, be good. And they're like, he didn't feed us.
Why didn't he feed us?
What's it all about?
And everybody's like, he's big.
He is. He's a big dog.
And he's sleeping still? Or has he moved...
Doesn't move much. He gets up and stretches.
It's not until the end.
I think he's supposed old. To be kind of old.
He's
yeah.
old. Yeah. I think he's the oldest out of all of them there. He's the one that's been there the
and
longest.
And what does Rusty tell them? Like, shit's going wrong?
Yeah. I think they decide they're going to go out to the shed, right? They want to go see Victor.
And our little brave girl, she goes and... what is it like? She goes, "Don't go in there."
Yeah.
Well, and then I think.
Well, I think they say run, right? They come and they say run, get it out of here as fast as you can. And they're like, "Whoa, what's in there? What's in there? What's in there?"
Well, I think what happens here though is he actually goes upstairs at the same time, though, mm-hmm. right? And so here they go, and she's the first one in.
Yeah, says we can't stay here. Run, run.
And she's like, "Don't go in there. Don't freaking." And that's why, because it's not fucking cool, dude.
It's not cool. It's fucked up, man. Very fucked up. So they talk about maybe digging under the fence. Like, no, the fence goes down all the way.
Yeah.
This sheer panic, it's so creepy to think if you were a human, it would be that same level of panic, right? Like, you're like, oh, my God, we got to get the fuck out. Point,
especially when you get into the dog days. Like, these dogs that have disappeared from these people who are dead.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is just asking to get caught.
It's true. It's like, eventually,
it's not going to take much.
Eventually, it was going to happen, yeah. right? Yeah.
So he was. That's the thing.
Because I wonder, like, you know, we don't know what the town is they live in and how big it is, whatever. But I would think, like, say it's a relatively small town. How many dog parks do they probably have?
Yeah.
Eventually, wouldn't somebody be like, hey, this guy hangs out at this dog park all the time, and people who women who constantly bring their dogs to this dog park are dying, and their dogs are going missing.
But remember, he would have thrown what may be cool with is
he's the common denominator.
Tony Fleece.
Fleece.
If he writes the story from the police officer's perspective,
it would be different.
Based
yeah.
on that,
yeah.
it would be cool to see what the town was doing. Because at this point in time, at this one, that's got to be scary. Because it's like, oh shit, and he's going in at
there
the
it
top.
Is.
Yep, like look at him. Oh, and he doesn't know.
You did your own shit.
That's
what he said. There it is for.
Yeah. God damn it.
I mean, I was out with like the first 5 minutes.
I know,
so.
But still.
I ain't saying shit to anybody.
So, how many dogs?
Bad run? Dog.
Ugh, and he's mad. So, is the little? Did he come
seeing
home?
Seeing stuffed dogs' heads,
it's
just
not
like
right.
No, it's
at
not
all.
Cool, bro. It's not cool.
So, he's holding firm with his growl.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember.
He attacks him, man.
Yeah.
Straight up
so
goes
I
for
still
it.
Don't remember. If you go back a couple pages, is Mary's right? Does he remember coming home to another group of dogs?
Yeah, I just re-looked at it. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if he... I feel like he does remember because that's why he snaps.
But, oh, it's the... Okay.
I think he doesn't remember until he sees the heads. And then he goes, oh, shit, these are the dogs that were here when I got here.
Oh.
And that's what triggers it. Because he was kind of the biggest non-believer
right.
up to this point.
Earl was non-believer. And so then... Things going bad.
Bites the shit out of him, dude. He goes for it. I love it. I love it.
And he gets to tell him, keep going, keep running, right? And I like this part where they're like, where are you going to run to?
See, how much cooler could the Will Ferrell movie Strays have been if they had just done this?
Oh, that would.
You know, the few times I would Google stray dogs and ask a question, it would. Yeah. It would give me that movie. I'm like, that's not what I'm asking about. So I have to put Stray Dogs comic book.
Yeah.
So he makes a break for it, but this.
Finally, the Mastiff goes, fuck you, bro.
And I.
Oh, Mastiffs are so cool. I could never have a dog like that, I don't think.
Oh.
But they're cool as fuck.
Yeah.
Those are cool dogs.
Your kids could ride that sucker.
Or like St. Bernard's, so
big. Dude. Yeah.
The fucking heads like this.
I had a guy I worked with that had a
great badass.
Pyrenees.
Oh, that thing was gigantic.
There was a house in my neighborhood growing up.
I have one
in
a Doberman.
Yeah, there was a house in my neighborhood that had a Great Dane I used to see all the time walking to school. And I remember it was like as tall as the fence or even taller than the fence where it kind of looked over. And it was like, the fence is just there for like looks. Like,
exactly. If he wants to get over, he's getting
that,
over.
That dog could clear that fence if he wanted to.
Right. He's just watching.
He seemed like the friendliest dog, but it was just like, he would just kind of stand there. But it's like, yeah, he just like, it made him look bigger because he towered over the fence and his head was just like, you know, it's like, God damn, it's a big ass dog. No, I was also like 8, so he was like, Jesus. Oh, yeah.
If he's, so from here, though, I like the fact he just goes for the window.
Yeah.
He's like, get out.
Scooby-Doo a Great Dane?
I think so.
Yeah, I love that they're just like, get the fuck out of the house by any means. Like, the doors are all locked. Like, get the fuck
out. And he takes it out.
He does, man.
And then I love the sheer panic of everybody's leaving, but then they know there's that big road, right? Everybody's like,
the busy street.
How do we stop the traffic?
And everybody's panicking. She wants to go back and get the scarf. He's coming through. He's shooting a gun. Oh,
it's
not
sad,
Roxanne.
That she's like, I can't leave without it because I can't forget her, you know?
And so then everybody is getting to this point, and damn you, Earl, for sacrificing yourself.
I know.
He stops traffic.
The husky getting shot in the leg is sad. It's very sad.
I don't.
Like,
well,
right in her ass, too.
It is a bad shot, and everybody's like, ow, and then... You go, Sophie.
They basically dart out into traffic and cause an accident.
That's Earl.
Which obviously responds. I know. He gets thrown, too.
Yeah.
That poor guy. He gets hit.
Because it's like a highway. They're going fast.
Yeah. But enough to draw the police's attention, obviously, to the scene. And thank God the police that respond have a dog.
This
book has a completely different ending because obviously they can't communicate with people. They could have just barked up a storm, but you know,
but
the fact that they show up with a police dog.
And this guy, is he bleeding out?
I think he's dying,
Yeah.
He's
dead.
It's a pretty gnarly gash that he's got in his neck there.
Yeah, they think they hit an artery.
Right there. Okay. Ugh. And so then they're all like, what the hell? And so then I think they're all getting caught, like the zip ties, I think, right? And all the people are... And that's this part. All right, I'm here. What's going on, guys? One at a time.
One at a time. Goddamn time. But yeah, luckily there's someone there that the dogs can communicate with.
And so if you go back,
and
he's
like, bodies? What bodies?
Yeah. And so that's the part that's got to be like really sad.
They're like, oh shit.
And then.
Months later, the dogs are all put into adoption
this
center.
This is what I would love is
they're
also
all rescue dogs now.
There's some. Not rescue dogs. I wonder if for the people, I thought he just killed like women, random women. But in here, you realize some of these still have owners that were looking for him and family members of the dogs.
Yeah.
I'm like, I hope they get to go back home to like their families.
This to me is really sad that they link back up again and don't remember each other. That's really sad.
But I did like, that's one of the things I liked in here because in this one, when they meet, don't I know you?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. But yeah, they met at the park.
Yeah.
And then they met here again, but I still think I like the fact it's not necessarily an unhappy meeting, but I liked it. And
so
this
that's Stray Dogs.
Now, I don't think in this, I think it was just in the single issues, because I think all this has is just the cover gallery. In the single issues, it had the people that were involved in the comic book. And they would post the pictures of their dogs, like their living ones or the ones they had, and like this is, you know, these
cute.
Are the dogs that we had. And
so what I liked about this one, though,
Dog Days.
Dog Days
is no dogs died.
No. Dogs died, which was really nice. Was Fritz in there? This is the one dog I don't remember.
Fritz
wasn't a dog, though, right?
Fritz, I think, is one of the past dogs that was the stuffed head.
Okay, because I don't remember Fritz, but it does show he has this thing, whether or not you believe it's the dog versus the woman, I'm not sure, because that would be a curious thing. Number one, he does kill women with the dog. Whether or not he chooses the woman based on the dog, we don't know. It'd be curious to go back and see if all the women have ponytails. Well, you do. I mean,
at the end of this one, when he's after
he definitely chooses women.
He doesn't go for the French poodle. He goes into someone's house. The woman fights back.
Yeah.
And the cops come because she'd called the cops and he has to run. And then he goes after the other dog.
I don't know if it's the dog or the fact it's the woman with the dog.
Mm-hmm. Well, he definitely chooses women that don't have men because... they say that in here.
And it's the one lady in here, who the husband was gone on a business trip and came home to his wife being killed and the dog gone.
Yeah.
And so this one, I think, whether or not it's the dog or the fact that the woman is... There's a connection there. So I dig the little reward. It shows... Well, it's not... It's sad. All of them are like... There was someone who loved them.
I'm going with it's the dogs because... You never see the face of the woman. And granted, you could say it's because we're seeing it from the dog's point of view.
That's what I think they're kind of trying to do.
I get that, but that's what makes me kind of lean towards it's the dogs he's kind of going after. Not saying that he's not getting a thrill out of killing the women. There's obviously something in
that. Yeah, I think this is Fritz, isn't it? Wouldn't this be Fritz?
Yeah, that's true.
I wonder if it's a taxidermy thing that, like, he wants the dogs to stuff the dogs.
Eventually, at one point.
Which so, like, to me, a Norman maybe, Bates thing going
which
on
Which to
there.
Me is like that. Maybe I just want that because I want there to be an endgame thing for the villain to make him a better villain for me. I want there to be a reason.
I think that's the creepiest
But I
type
also
of
think, like, I that's... One of the things I like about it is I like the guessing part.
Don't get me wrong. There's definitely such things as senseless killings.
They do a good job keeping it.
I want some kind of a motive or some sort of...
I get that. But I also like that they give me enough here that I can guess. Like, it could be this or it could be this.
They do
a good job of keeping it in dog's
there's
perspective.
There's enough that I can come up with my own
In my head canon, it's just he wants the dogs to eventually stuff the dogs.
There's not... What's the word I'm looking for? Not enough. That's not the word I want to use.
But it's true.
But, you know, it's not one of those things where you're like, well, they're not giving me enough information.
Kind of like Mary was saying, like the dogs are kind of his trophies. That's what I think. He wants the dogs to eventually put them on his wall.
Exactly.
So what I enjoyed about Dog Days is the stories. I enjoyed reading the second, though. I appreciated that.
Yeah, I feel like you would.
But I enjoyed...
I liked it, but...
I enjoyed this kind of...
I don't need much, apparently.
This conclusion of the house, and I don't know why the burning of the house was almost...
Therapeutic.
Like it was the end of the story in a way, where
especially where Victor was the fire dog.
I know, but I love the guys were just like... But it seems like a lot of people, and this is why I hope that some of the dogs were connected to their past owners, because it seems like there was a connection, because, you know, the placement of all
and
the animals.
Yeah, I did like the scene where they are driving. Do they show it?
Yeah, that one.
It's right here, where they kind of go off. That one truck goes off on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we're gonna go burn this house down.
And then
have a drink.
Yeah, you know, like, so I do think they figured out, like, all the pictures of the puppies and stuff.
And, like, who better to do that than firemen? Like, they got fire truck there. They can control it if they need to.
If you're going to have a...
Yeah.
And they burn it down, and then they put it out.
Yep.
Like, okay.
So, Mary, what do we think of Stray Dogs?
I liked it. It was my pick, so...
No,
what did you guys think about it?
Dog
was it your pick, though?
Shut up. Hey, we had a fun little adventure and we read two short books.
Aaron, what do you think of Stray Dogs?
I liked it a lot. I wasn't prepared for it as much because I was going in with it just being like whatever. I was going in it being Dog Days and I got the regular. But it was
the
just
regular.
The regular. I just enjoyed the character development at such a, not a simple level, that sounds mean, but it was truly primal. We're scared. We're digging. This isn't true. This isn't right. It was just like, they're dogs, right? Mm-hmm. There's no like subterfuge in their reactions. And sure. I think that is was very enjoyable at that level.
Kylie?
I liked it. It's one of those things like you had brought up. It's that artwork. It's that Don Bluthy Disney type artwork, but it's a twisted story. So it's you have those two halves where it's like, oh, it's like your childhood, but oh, it's also fucked up. Yeah, it's good. And that being said, their new book just dropped last week, and it's called Feral, and it has to do with cats this time around.
I'll admit that I'm very biased in the sense of, like, I love dogs. Like, I don't know if this book hits nearly as hard for me if it is cats or if it's something else. Like, that's just a very personal bias that I have. I don't know why.
Interesting.
I just love dogs.
Animals in general for me. Like, when I get into this argument with people, like, oh, you like cats? I'm like, I like all animals. Like, I'm not biased against animals. Like,
right.
I maybe I'll lean toward one towards another. I love dogs. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Dogs are a lot more to take care of than cats. So
true.
I'll lean towards maintenance cats.
Maintenance-wise,
yeah. I love them all. So.
This is a good book. The artwork to me is the standout. The story is good, and I like what they do, but the pages to me are mm-hmm. gorgeous. The art is the main attraction in my opinion.
When they were out for Wasatch, they signed a bunch of stuff, and we got a bunch of the blank covers of Stray Dogs, and they were doing the sketches. The one thing they wouldn't do, because I was like, I'll pay for, because I was going to like, here's my dog, here's a picture of my dog, sketch my dog. Yeah. And that's one thing they said they wouldn't do. Oh, they're like, we'll do sketches of dogs and the thing. But
I think
they
had
too many requests of like, you do my dog,
that makes
do my
sense,
dog.
Yeah. Like,
we get it, but.
Did they have dog day, did they have Stray Dogs pages? Was there pages from the
book? Yeah, it was just the number one, the blank, the no, sketch I'm saying, cover.
But were they selling original pages?
I don't think so. No, like, for all I know, it's the thing we talk about. It's probably just digital.
Because
so.
This book is gorgeous. That's I wouldn't mind having a page of that somewhere.
It just, I like the lines of it. You're like you said, it's got that fun.
Feels like very House Disney.
Mm-hmm. Rusty and, oh, it was enjoyable. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I enjoyed the adventure of this
book. I'm unfamiliar with this artist. I'd be curious to see other things they've done, if like this is their style, or did they try to do
a
Disney style thing for this book? Like, I'm wondering, like, is this what their other stuff looks like?
I mean, Feral looks just like this.
But does it?
I don't know if it takes place in the same world. There's only one issue out. I have access to 2 and 3. I just haven't read them yet. But it's the way people are describing it is like it's Walking Dead with cats, but it's rabies. Sure. It's a rabies outbreak.
Sweet.
Basically, that's what it is.
So Trish Forstner is a relatively newcomer to the comic industry, but brings a lifetime experience in creating fun and lovable characters. She's been drawing since she could hold a pencil. She loves classic animation, which is what you may actually be kind of pulling for.
For sure.
Particularly classic 80s and 90s tunes.
Mm-hmm.
She is known for her work on IDW's My Little Pony comics for her breakout collaboration with Tony on Stray Dogs.
Did this book sell real well when it came out? Did it really? Okay, good. That's good.
Yeah, insanely well. Like, did it really? I think there were talks of them optioning it, and my thought was, if you're going to do it, animate it.
Oh, it would have to
Do a live action.
No.
Yeah, animate it. That's going
to
be the best.
Because you need the dogs to talk. Mm-hmm. You need it to look. When they do the live action stuff with dogs talk and their mouths move, it's weird. Do it animated. Like, animate dogs talking, no one cares. Yeah.
Like we talked about Strays. You saw Strays, right?
Yeah.
I liked it. It was long enough. If you went any longer with that, I would have been like, okay, let's wrap this up.
It was funny.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it was fun.
But they should do it. They should make it look as close to that
fucking
book as they possibly can.
Yep.
Feels like something like.
And a trailer, man, make it look like you're in for a Disney movie, and then halfway through it just takes a turn, and you're like, oh shit.
Oh, this is hilarious.
It'd be good for like Prime, maybe. Cute.
Yeah, yeah.
So definitely. I remember those. You know, they don't need to ponies.
Do
multiple
seasons. They can just do it all in one season. Oh
yeah, this could be a 5 or 6 episode thing and done. Exactly. Yeah, maybe even 3. You can even do it in 3.
You could, yeah,
if you wanted to. Anyways, yeah, I really liked it. Before we get to Aaron's.
Pick yeah, I'm still
for
I'm
Combo debating. Club, we'll do weekly picks. Mary?
Oh, we're going to talk about Civil War because I didn't watch anything else. So, all
right.
Let's just talk about that.
This is a new film from A24.
Yeah, I liked it.
It's Kylie's pick, too. So, Kylie, do you want to start?
That would have been my top pick, but I mean, are we all picking this? Like, what?
I have something else.
Okay, cool.
I don't have anything else.
Because I do have other things, but like, I'm an Alex Garland whore. This is the guy who wrote and directed it. He started out as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing he wrote was a novel called The Beach, which... The Beach! which Danny Boyle read and like, I want to adapt this movie. And he hired Alex Garland to do the screenplay with him. And they worked together so well. He's like, hey, let's do more stuff together. They did 28 Days Later. They did Sunshine.
Dread.
So he worked with Danny Boyle quite a bit. And then Dread, the... What's the actor's name? The guy who played Judge Dredd.
Oh,
Keith
no.
Urban.
Yes.
Not Keith Urban.
Keith Urban.
Yeah, Keith Urban.
Carl Urban.
Carl
Close.
Urban.
Close.
I had Urban
so
somewhere.
So now I just want to see Keith Urban.
Carl Urban. And I've heard in and it wasn't Alex Garland wrote the screenplay.
On the law, mate.
but I've heard in interviews with Carl Urban that said Alex Garland pretty much directed that movie. Like, the okay. fact that his name isn't there as director isn't right.
His sketch?
Yeah. Sketch. After that, then he actually did start writing and directing his own movies. I don't know if you've seen, like, Ex Machina.
Oh, it's...
Was that his as well?
Yeah, okay. Ex Machina was, like, his first one. Annihilation, which, like, for me, is his... That's the his top one. Shit.
It was
that's Natalie
beautiful
Portman,
and
it's one that I remember, like, I'm buying the 4K of this because yeah. it's so gorgeous. Men, which I enjoyed, but it's the one movie where at the end you've got to, like, okay, what is he trying to get across here?
Yeah.
Like, there's a message wrapped in this riddle here. And then I had no idea Civil War was coming out until the trailer dropped. And I was like, oh my God, yes. Because he was talking about stepping away from directing. He also did, if you have Hulu, watch, it's like 6 episodes.
Oh, it's pretty.
It's called
fun.
Devs. He okay. did a series for Hulu called Devs. Nick Offerman. And it's one we watched weekly, right?
Yes.
Because it was one that, like, when it ended, I was like, I cannot wait another fucking 7 days for another
We did,
episode.
And we would watch him.
And it's so good. And the payoff for that show is, because he's a sci-fi guy.
Yeah.
And it's very much that. Like, and when it hits, like, second to last episode, when you realize what they're trying to accomplish, like, what the people doing things are trying to do, you're like, no, they're not really going there, are they? And then the last episode, you're like, oh shit, this is what they're
so,
doing.
So yeah, if you have a chance,
watch
I think
Devs is
I
great.
Think Nick Offerman is in Devs, and
he's the main actor in Devs.
And so I wonder if he enjoyed. It's kind of interesting to me to see if directors, you know, we like working with certain people.
Sure.
I would think that would also come out with directing and acting. To see Nick Offerman in this movie and also in Devs, I wonder, he worked a lot with Nick Offerman.
And to be fair, he's barely in this movie.
He is, and that's one
but
thing I've noticed, that he does, like, he's worked with Nick Offerman twice, who played Apocalypse in the X-Men movies. He's in Star Wars.
Yeah. Moon Knight. What the fuck is his name?
Yeah.
Oscar Isaac?
Oscar
oh,
Isaac.
That guy.
So he was in Ex Machina. He was the main actor in that. And he
really
has
good
a,
actor.
And he has a little part in Annihilation. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's nice to see him like, I want to work with this person. Like, just it's always different people. But he there are those people, like you see the Oscar Isaac and the Nick Offerman.
I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed Civil War a lot.
We did a read of the Ebert.
This was leaving.
No, leaving. We
and this
read...
will be like non-spoilers because obviously it's a brand new movie. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So
I liked the focus on photography.
Yes.
I liked when it would just be like,
you don't see
and
that
it would
much
be
where
silent.
Like it focuses like, on the press people.
Yeah.
I don't think there was a way to do that without alienating a huge chunk of people.
Yeah, that's
because going into this, I think you're there's a lot of trepidation of like, okay, is this going to lean left? Is this going to lean right? It doesn't really. Lena either way.
That to me is kind of the bummer, though. Like, if I had a critique of Civil War, I think they played it very safe.
That was it!
In the sense of, like, they didn't want to pick a side. Like, they're like, oh, it's like Florida has its own territory, and then, like, Texas and California are kind of doing it, where it's like, okay, in a real world where this could happen, it's red and blue states.
So this is what was...
And, like, they didn't want to do that because they didn't want to have main characters be a part of a side or not a side. And I get it, because you don't want to alienate a whole side of whatever, but I think they played it safe, and I'm like, there's another world where they would have just went for it, where I think I would have enjoyed this movie a little bit more, but, like, it's fine.
So this is what I found really interesting. Not this one. Shit, hold on. When we were driving home, I thought this critique was too savvy for its own good. They put it out 2 days before the movie was released.
Who is this?
It was a critic from...
Is this the Roger Ebert thing?
Yeah, Roger Ebert. It's a critic from, like, their fancy people.
Well, everyone knows who Roger Ebert is.
Siskel Ebert?
Yeah. Gave it 4 stars. Yeah. Perfect score.
Everyone knows.
And so what except he the stated... Of the world. Yes, thank you, Mary.
Classy people know who Roger Ebert.
This is it. So it's like he was a soothsayer, or he was kind of... I look forward to reading all of the arguments for and against, even though both Raves and Pan seem to be operating under the reductive assumption that it's one of three things. Like, he calls it. Yeah. An alternative future history of a divided United States that's intended as a cautionary tale, number one.
Yep.
And which, that's what I think it is. I mean,
in some, he's on number two, a technically proficient but empty-headed misery porn compendium that derives much of its power from images redolent of genocide or lynching, but ducks political specifics so as not to offend reactionaries.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, a visionary spectacular ultra-violence that might or may not have something important to say, but will definitely look sound great on expensive home entertainment system.
Mm-hmm.
So then, after reading his critique, I went back and looked at all the reviews in IMDb. A lot A lot of them had... It was really funny. I was, like, looking at it. He was right. Mm-hmm. A lot of them had that, like, oh, he did this, he did that. And what he pointed out, which I thought was really cool, is that the trailer misled you purposely in a weird way to, like, go in thinking, oh, it was something. But the idea was the power of the scoop. Here was the journalists. They were the thrill of the find, the war, the imagery, right? And so the reason why the sides was not clear is, in theory, at that journalist level, the characters, like in Stray Dogs, it did not matter to them. The whole point was them getting the scoop. There's that
perfect scene that explains it all where... They're in the Christmas land.
Yeah.
And the guy's in the house shooting, and the two snipers are on the ground trying to kill him. And the writer is trying to get, like, okay, so what's going on? They're like, we just explained this to you. And he looked at the one girl, like, what's happening? That guy's shooting at them. They're trying to kill him. Yep, that's it.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what it is.
And like, I think it was that, none of the, you couldn't really tell about, like, the costumes. So in a war,
like, who's who?
One is it Western front of this? And we're so, our minds are so built for that. Like, I can tell we're,
it's a us against them mentality.
Yeah, it's that I could see, but I felt almost appreciative of him, because knowing that the point is, if you're from these perspective, the sheer inhumanity of war being what it is, which is one of the reviews I was reading on that was like, well, if we don't know whose side is what you're actually saying is war really just sucks, basically. And I was
that's the whole thing.
But you see that.
That, but I also.
Definitely works for what it is. It works very good for what it is.
I just thought it was this one person who goes, the whole thing, if you step back and look at it being that scoop, that need as a journalist. And then could you be that person? Could you truly step back and watch someone burn alive and not do anything. They truly
yeah, that is there's definitely very... no like there's no studio to like have more eyes on, I feel like, at this point than A24.
Yeah,
like
they do.
At this point, anything with that logo on it, my ears perk up a little bit, where you're just like, what are they doing now? Because I feel like they're just taking chances on so many things, and like everything from Civil War to like Pearl and, you know, whatever, to things like Hazbin Hotel, where it's like they're kind of doing a lot of different stuff.
Tom FD is an A24.
So like and like I think a lot of people kind of thought of them as sort of a horror studio early on, but they're really Barbarian? Kind of getting out of that while still doing some of it as well.
Barbarian.
So anyway, A24 is fantastic. Like,
yeah. I enjoyed this movie thoroughly.
What's the glow of the television or whatever?
Is that A24
too?
In the glow of
that
TV?
Looks interesting. That looks pretty sweet, yeah.
The pink opaque or something like that.
We could have a whole
Before we go, I know. I was just saying, why I really liked it so much is... because number one, it showed how nasty any side can get.
Yeah.
Because you're assuming at one point in time the people without uniforms versus those and their actions taken. Mm-hmm. The people with uniforms. But it was the sheer, I was fascinated by this one critique. I never wanted something like that. Like, mm-hmm. you know, deep down you look at the scoop and you look at these people and you look at it, they're like, I don't think I would jump in front of a bullet to take a shot of a camera or, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
right.
I was appreciative of that. But I also appreciated the fact that the movie wasn't exactly what you thought it was. It slapped down people who go in and say, oh, this is a leftist. I think everybody could go in and still have fun because it slapped down people who went in and go, oh, it's going to print me up. And if you went in as on the right side, you could go, ha ha, guys, this wasn't the movie you thought it was, did it? Because it didn't tell you anything. Ha ha. It was like, it's a movie everybody can enjoy, oddly, because it doesn't take ownership.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, do you have a pick?
Well, if Kylie's pick is that, I'm going Fallout number one, baby.
What is that playing?
It's on Prime.
Okay. Oh my God, is it epic? Like, do you guys ever play a video game?
No.
Nope. These last few years with video game adaptations, they're nailing shit.
Oh, but good.
I'll be honest, Borderlands looks fun to me. I've never played that game in my life, but the movie looks fun. I'm like, I'm here for this.
And it looks like he's nailed it.
Like, I'm here for this.
So Fallout, you should see it. I'd like to point out.
It's like another post-apocalyptic thing, right?
Yeah.
Still, my mom, fucking awesome. She watched it already and is re-watching it. She loved it so much.
Good.
Nice.
So Fallout is stylistic. It's very crisp. Even in the video game. The video game was, again, post-apocalyptic, but this concept
of... The only Fallout anything that I played was you have to, like, build your base.
Oh, remember that? I know which one. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's all I played for Fallout.
It's a whole world of...
And that was one I think you could link up to your actual game and do stuff.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. Fallout is this concept. It's awesome. It's dark. It's gritty. But there were multiple... like humans, non-humans, morphed, everything. They hit it out of the park. And the actors in this one are freaking... Who's our guy?
Kyle MacLachlan's in it. Walton Goggins.
Oh, he's so good. My mom's like, I love the music. It's always felt this 1940s kind of... Like,
yeah, old school.
Old time.
But man, did they...
And that's how it is in the video games. It's like... Because it seems like that the world stopped at that point, and that's all.
But the technology, like the robots and everything, it moved forward, but it's like this wholesome kind of horror. Like, but it's not... I don't know if... I guess it's horror because it's so horrific in the sense of...
There's definitely some comedy moments. Oh, like God, when she's leaving and the guy's like, young lady, you get back here right now.
And she's walking out of the ball. And she just walks out.
He's like, well, that didn't work.
It's stunning. And you should really play the video.
They nailed it. And it's not Christopher Nolan. Jonathan Nolan, his brother, who they did West. It's the people who did Westworld, basically. Okay. And I fucking loved Westworld. And, they're
sad. I mean, I think with
some of the actors, you're like, oh, they're doing this video game thing, but it's like, oh, they, you know, like Jonathan Nolan's doing this. Of course, they're gonna sign up for that.
And they've already signed on for season two.
Cool, sweet, Kylie.
It was gonna be Civil War or Fallout. I'm going to throw out Chucky just started up again.
Okay.
They did their mid-season.
It's on sci-fi.
Fine. Yeah, they did their mid-season. I don't get...
Mid-seasons?
Especially since we got these shorter seasons now. Don't fucking give me a break in between. Don't give me four episodes and go away for months.
Just Invincible.
Well, and Chucky's the same thing. I think we got five, and then they took a break. I'm like, what? What are you doing?
What's the purpose? Has anybody explained it yet? Stupid. Okay.
No, it does. It makes no sense. But... Like I think I've brought Chucky up here before. It's one of those shows that, like, in all these years, it's had to build on. Like, it's one of those shows going in. It's like it should not be as good as it is. I should not be enjoying this as much as I am. But goddamn, he's just hitting it out of the park. It's fun. It's good.
Right on. Couple of finales. Invincible season two. Awesome.
That was your pick last week.
Was it?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, well, the finale was this week, finally.
Oh, was it? Okay. I figured it had finished.
Yeah.
So it's all out now. It's hard to top the finale for season one. This comes really close. Like, okay. It was really good. But
that's nice.
I hear Agent Spider, whatever's in it at the end or something. Or was that last week?
That was the finale.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Agent
but the main pick is Curb Your Enthusiasm. The series finale, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
It was one of those things, like, when it came on, I looked at Aaron and I'm like, it's on right now, I'm gonna watch it. So do you want to watch it with me, even though you haven't watched
it
all
these? Hilarious.
It was brilliant, dude. It's so Larry David. It's like, it's Larry David. Like, if we're going out, I'm going out 100% me, and he did it exactly how he should have done it.
Oh, the fact that the title was like No Lessons Learned.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, we're doing the Seinfeld finale again.
And the fact that
I've learned nothing.
You know, not to spoil too much, but there's a whole scene in a lobby of a hotel of a boy hitting Larry David in the head with a ball, and the mom's like, no, hold on, he needs to learn a lesson about this. Like, look, I've been alive for 76 years. I've never learned a lesson in my fucking life. It's like, no amount of times is going to stop me from doing the same thing over and over and over again.
So I watched that and I was like, what parent would make a man stand there? Like, I can see...
There's definitely people who...
But so those
these are caricatures, right?
But, right. They are, very much so.
But you could see, like, all of these things he's did, you can see what led up to his choices that made it, like... Okay, it is ridiculous, but
it's in such those a great instances, show.
Have you been watching like the history of Curb, the podcast?
No.
So it's awesome because every time Susie
with
brings
Jeff
up
Green and,
every time Susie brings up something
Jeff Garland, right?
Ridiculous in the particular storyline of the episode they're talking about, Jeff's the first one to go, that happened to Larry, he knew somebody that did this. This
it's
is
all
these
based in reality. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was kind of...
Fantastic finale.
I don't know why I was shocked.
I was hoping they would do like what a lot of these HBO series do afterwards. And maybe we will still get one like a week from now or something. Yeah. Like, give me a hour long like...
Round table kind of thing?
Not necessarily a round table, but just like
compilation?
Not a compilation, but like a... Just them talking about the show and just the history of everything.
I was shocked that Jerry Seinfeld came in.
They did the Seinfeld one, though. They did the Seinfeld roundtable thing.
Yeah.
That was years after the fact.
I was shocked that Jerry Seinfeld came in, though.
I kind of expected...
He plays a pretty big role.
I kind of expected more Seinfeld cameos at the end. I wonder if they weren't able to get some of the people.
But he was in it.
And for the longest time, for most of that show, I'm like... Jerry's got to show up.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be in the courtroom. And then when he did show up, I'm like, this is what I've been waiting for.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was kind of surprised that we didn't get more, but I'm very happy.
What they did was
it's incredible. So, yeah.
I enjoyed Curb Your
Enthusiasm, a perfect ending to a show that ran for 12 seasons that was fucking phenomenal.
Wait,
dude.
So has there been pushback that it wasn't perfect? Because I was wondering, as any fan, Seinfeld got such shit. Did they give it? Has anybody like given shit for this one?
Everything I've read about it is raving.
Yeah,
I was just wondering.
JB Smoove in this episode,
so good.
The shit, so like good. The shit in the courtroom when the other guy goes up and gives his opening things, and the first thing
you're fucked.
Well, I just love him. That whole plane beginning part with the phone, and
it's
that
good, yeah.
The actress who played the attendant.
Well, they're all tattletelling on each other.
Yes,
yeah.
Whoever she was familiar, the attendant going back and forth, but the way she was so kind. No, I'm not going to tattletale. Yeah. I'm not going to tattletale on someone who, you know, what was it? She wasn't going to rat or whatever. But it was a whole, like, she was so patient to that whole part.
But just the way JB also would just, he was watching Seinfeld for the first time. And then he was talking about, like.
And it lines up where he's like, I finished it all. I haven't watched that finale yet.
I heard you fucked it up.
So, Aaron, you got your pick for our next book club episode?
It is probably something everybody's going to have to purchase.
Is it black and white?
No. It is color, but it's not going to necessarily. I don't know. I'm going to choose it. I've wanted to do it for a while, and I'm just going to do it. It is Constantine Freezes Over. It's a four-part series in the Hellblazer storyline. So, it's old.
Old Vertigo Hellblazer.
Right. Okay. Cool. And it's only four issues, but it is one.
Is that
one
the one he's in prison?
No, it's the creepy story.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Cool.
It's awesome. A creepy story. But
so Constantine freezes over?
Mm-hmm. Hellblazer freezes over.
It's Hellblazer freezes over.
Okay.
It's just a nice, creepy story.
Sweet. Okay, I see.
All right, guys, then we'll see you guys next week for that. And
Next week is not that.
Next week, no, you're right. Next week we're doing Creator Focus for Robert Kirkman.
Okay.
And then the next comic club will be Hellblazer. So
is that until next Walking time, I'm Tyler. Dead? Is that Walking Dead guy?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'm Mary.
Aaron.
I'm Kylie.
Fuck Comscape. Fuck Charles. Fuck the Prowse Boys. See you next week.
Bye.